We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with a pair of leaders with a local resiliency village, Mark Dykin, who is the executive director, as well as Shelley Munoz, who is the board secretary and a member of the executive team. And I'm going to go back to Shelley Munoz now. As we ended the first segment, Mark Dykin was talking a lot about the issue of trauma and how it all connects. Anything else you'd like to add before we move on to other topics?
I would. I would just like to say that, you know, everyone sees our homeless population up here, whether it be walking on the street or in a park or wherever, and it's so easy to pass judgment. And, you know, the important thing to remember is that we haven't met one person that we've talked to and really taken the time to listen to that doesn't have a trauma story like Mark was talking about. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. And people don't realize that it's like across the gambit why people are out there in the camps. And it's shocking, actually, how many women we get. We get phone calls from women all the time who are either already homeless, living in their cars. We have teachers out there. We have, you know, just a wide array of people who, for one reason or another, a lot of times it's physical abuse. It's getting out of an abusive relationship, why a woman might end up in her car or out in a camp. But it would shock people how many phone calls we get from women who are in need of help, and older women, 50s, 60s, even 70s, who are going through or have gone through a major trauma in their lives. And, you know, we hear about PTSD for vets, but that's also true with everyone, you know, anyone who's gone through any kind of a trauma in their life. So, you know, just when anybody out there who's, it's like I said, it's easy to make those judgments, but, you know, take the time to really try to see who a person is on the inside. It'll change your point of view.
We learn a lot by talking to people.
Yeah.
I'm curious, too, about the Resiliency Village site out in the Big Hill area. I'll go back over to Mark Dykin. If anybody, I assume most people have not actually seen it, but so I'm curious if you can kind of just paint a picture about what is all out there and the different offerings.
Sure. So we have a 40-acre piece of property, and it's really beautiful. Our views are stunning. We have a gorgeous garden that the residents work in and produces a lot of vegetables. We have 20-some fruit trees and a few nut trees. So there's that kind of work going on. We have chickens, we have eggs, things like that. So it looks like a typical rural setting. We have a large house that's currently being remodeled, and we will be able to house eight people in that building. And then we have some plans for expansion as we go on. And we chose that site for a number of reasons. One, because of the good water. Two, because it does seem a little bit far away from people and services at first, but really when people are coming into the world, leaving that world of being unsheltered and possible substance use or any of the other things that people might self-medicate with, being away from all those influences gives us a much better shot at healing and working through. And we do really have a commitment and a belief in the power of beauty, and it's a beautiful place, and we think people should live in a beautiful place. And regardless of what you've gone through and regardless of your social status, you deserve to wake up someplace that inspires you and makes you feel good. And that's a big part of what we do, is we want people to live in beauty, to walk in beauty, and to believe that they deserve that. And our space is beautiful, and that's the comment that most people who visit the first time, that's the first thing out of their mouth is, I didn't expect it to look this nice. And it is gorgeous. So we're really happy with that property. And I got to tell you, it's no secret that people have a resistance to wanting, especially a group of people who are formerly unsheltered, to live close to them. So we did have at first some pushback from neighbors, and we had community people who just didn't think this was a good idea. And I understand that. And I really thank people who offer resistance, especially when it's done civilly, because that gives us the opportunity to really look at what people need to feel safe around it, but also to make sure that we're addressing that makes us a better organization. So I'm always happy to hear from people and address people's concerns. But what we believed and what has come out to be true for us, BJ, is that by doing the work and sticking to it and believing in it, we eventually win over our neighbors. So now, we go and help our neighbors shovel their driveway. We work with our neighbors, and it's worked out with everybody around us. And it's going to be a little bit of a story, but we have an example of one neighbor who was not happy that we were moving there. People hear stories, oh, you're going to recreate Camp Hope, which was never our intention. Well, we had an unfortunate incident where someone who also didn't like us very much actually loaded up a dump truck full of garbage and dumped it right at our gate. You know, we've been openly harassed, but we just kept our heads down and kept working. The good people from One Pile at a Time agreed to come up and clean that mess up for us. Thank you to them. And our neighbor happened to be someone who works with them from time to time, and he decided he would come and work on that particular cleanup so he could see what was going on there. When we got there, they started doing the work. Bunch of our folks went up to volunteer to help. They weren't expecting that. Around lunchtime, some of our other folks went up and said, hey, we've made lunch for everyone down at the house. Why don't you come down? The whole crew went down to eat. They all started looking around, having the reaction that most people have. Wow, I didn't expect it to look like this. And this man, who is our neighbor, asked Shelley, hey, can you get your people together? I want to talk to them. And oh boy, I don't know, what does he want to say? But sure, we get all the people together around by the pool, and this was actually on film. With tears in his eyes, he looks at our group and says, I owe you an apology. I misjudged you. I don't know how I could have done that. He says, I was homeless myself at one time. I know what it takes to get through it. What you're doing here is a good thing, and I'm going to tell you something else. When I was homeless, the people who you bought this property from took me in, and I lived in a trailer right here in that driveway. And, I get choked up thinking about it, because that's what this work is about. The community coming together and looking out and saying, we're going to do something about this. We're not going to let it keep going. We're going to actually come together and say, as long as the most vulnerable person in this community is at risk, I'm at risk. And if I want to do something about that, the work is right here in front of me. Let's get to it. And since that time, that neighbor has been one of our greatest supporters, has plowed our driveway, comes to check on us, make sure we have firewood, comes to our events, made us a fire pit to use. It's been a wonderful experience. And that's why I say we don't shy away from criticism or people who want to take a look at it and say maybe they don't like it. Until they see it, we'll say, come on and tell us what you think. Until that moment you actually see it, maybe you'll have a change of heart when you see what's going on.
Need to take one more break. We're talking about Resiliency Village with a pair of leaders from Resiliency Village. We're joined in studio today by Mark Dykin and Shelley Munoz. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Our final segment of Motherlode Views is coming up in just a minute. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.